It's hard to believe that in just 10 days, we're going to be able to exchange Christmas presents with one another. And these presents are given, of course, in expression of love for one to another, thoughts of kindnesses that are enjoyed as we think about that individual who's the object of our love. You know, for some, Christmas gifts are the anticipation of a long-desired item. And other times, gifts are given, and we acknowledge the kindness shown, and it's not that we don't appreciate it, it's just that some gifts just intrinsically have more value than others. There are some gifts that we receive in which we have a great deal of value attached to them, not only because of what that item might be, but also because of the person who gave it. So there's value in the gift as well as in the gift giver. Gifts have a lasting impression upon us in that regard. Now, many years ago, God gave to this world the costliest gift. And some may have little or no interest in it, but it never loses its value because the giver never loses his value. So this gift giver and the gift are exactly what a person needs. I like the way that one writer put it. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness and deliverance from sin. So God sent us a Savior. Luke chapter 2, verse 11, depicts the arrival of this costliest gift that has value not only because the gift itself does, but because of the giver of that gift. And the arrival of that gift is heralded by the angel with these simple words. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I want to take just a few moments and let's just meditate on that verse. Think about the verse, how it began. For unto us. What a wonderful expression that is. It's very personal. In fact, I want you to personalize that. I want you to put your name in the place of the word you. For unto us, or we'd say for unto you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior. As we think about putting your name there, for unto you is born, I want to ask you a question tonight. Have you ever personally received God's greatest gift, the gift of eternal life? In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin, the paycheck for our sin, is death." We can't really relate to sin, but we do relate very well to death. And God used the visual illustration of death as a reminder that sin carries a very real price tag. And the wages of our sin, because each of us has, is death or separation. When I die, my body will be separated from my soul and my being will be separated from my family and friends that I love. But if I die without Christ, I'm also eternally separated from the Father who loves me most. There is only one hope for rescue from God's wrath. And that's why Luke 2:11 says it's Christ the Lord. This Savior is identified as Christ the Lord. There's only one hope for an eternal acceptance with God. It's Christ the Lord. There's only one person that can rescue us, Christ the Lord. There's only one hope, and we have assurance of eternal life in heaven because of Christ the Lord. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath life." Can I dramatically illustrate that for you this evening? If I were to take this pen and say this represents the gift of eternal life, and that this Bible refers to Christ or illustrates Christ, here's what I would say. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. How do you get that gift? How would you get the pen that's inside this Bible? Well, you have to take the Bible. To receive one is to receive the other. So the gift of eternal life is Jesus Christ. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we have that gift. And so this day, the Bible says, is born a Savior. It struck me as I was thinking about this the other day that Christ the Savior was born so that we could be born again. And the virgin birth of Christ was the only means whereby he could become a member of the human family and provide us with the only means whereby we could become a member of God's family. So Christ's life and death then are the only means for our rescue. And as you think about the birth of Christ and how his birth means we can be born again now, I'm reminded of what Jesus said to Nicodemus, a religious man. In John chapter 3, verse 3, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He will not even see it." The word translated born again literally means born from above. In other words, that's why, quite frankly, good works, baptism, keeping the Ten Commandments, all those things will never work for your entry into heaven. Because everything that you do is something related to something that's done on earth. The new birth is not found anything associated with what's on earth. It's a birth that comes from above. In other words, God's the only source of it. As I thought about this, this thought also struck me. No human ever gave physical birth to himself or to herself. You can't do that. Likewise, no human can ever birth himself into the family of God. And that's why good works will never work. You have to be born again, a new birth that comes from above. Being born into the family of God and receiving his life is the best Christmas gift you can ever receive. The angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Notice how he's identified. You know, there's a real danger of keeping Christmas and not having Christ. Without Christ, all we have is Xmas. In math, X represents the unknown variable. Tragically, and for far too many, the real reason for Christmas is unknown. But in order for God to be known, he revealed himself generally in creation, specifically in the Word of God, and personally in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why he came. And his personal gift to you is the expression of his love. As it says in John 3:16, you heard that tonight. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's greatest gift calls for our deepest expression of gratitude, and that's why Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be unto God for his indescribable or unspeakable gift." The psalmist modeled the way to express that gratitude for God's gracious gift. He asked a question we each need to ask ourselves. In Psalm 116, verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me?" Here's one of the answers David gave. In Psalm 116, verse 13, he said, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, Paul would put it this way, "That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," shall be rescued, rescued from sin's penalty. So tonight, have you called upon the name of the Lord? Have you personally received him and his gift of eternal life? Are you tonight fully resting upon the finished work of Christ, apart from any work you could do? Do you recognize him to be your personal Savior and Lord? That message brought great joy to the shepherds. It brings great joy to all who would receive it. If you're here tonight without Christ, you're religious, but you've never been declared righteous and qualified for heaven, it would be our joy tonight to open the scriptures with you and introduce you how you can know without a shadow of a doubt your sins can be forgiven You can be pardoned and know that there is an eternal home for you in heaven. So tonight would be a perfect night to receive the greatest gift of all, the gift of Christ, the gift of eternal life. So tonight, will you accept Christ as your Christmas gift? As you think about gift giving, think about the personal gift Christ is for you and what he has accomplished. And tonight, if you need help understanding more about that, come see me. Come see one of our other church members here. We'd love to do what we can to introduce you to this wonderful Savior that you've heard sung about tonight, that you've heard read about and told about in Scriptures. We trust you enjoyed the program tonight. We trust that it was a blessing to your heart.